I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Gray man is everywhere. You can't keep him out.
Didn't I ask you to tie the doors?
I did!
He seeps through the cracks and gets inside you.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Katie Afraidy on the Fangoria Network. I'm your host, Katie Hettenbach, and I had the privilege of chatting with Carrie and William, directors and co-writers of Hold Your Breath. Guys, this movie is a doozy. It's heavy. It's pretty creepy. So I'm excited to share this interview with you. Enjoy.
And congratulations on this film. You made a movie.
We did it.
It's a big deal.
True.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. So how did this story come about?
We were actually watching the Ken Burns documentary about the Dust Bowl and kind of thinking how it's a period of American history where you see like a lot of dramas and kind of films or books focused on the Depression. But as we were watching the film, you know, you have these kind of striking landscapes and these terrifying walls of dust and the idea that the dust kind of seeps in through the cracks. And we thought, gosh, this is kind of a fun setting for a psychological genre film, horror film. And hadn't really seen that before. Yeah. So I think that's where it all started.
Absolutely a great concept. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. So bravo on that, because I feel like in the genre, it's hard to be creative and, you know, find something new, and you guys managed to do it. So
good job.
And you guys are co-directors. How do you approach co-directing a script like this?
Well, we met in film school and have worked together for years. So, you know, over the years of making things, our taste was always sunk up. Even back in film school, that we liked a lot of the same films and felt like we had the same kind of thematic goals for the kinds of movies we wanted to make. And I think what we've really developed over working together over the years is kind of like a fun idea competition between each other, where the goal is the best idea, the best scene, the best film, whatever it is. And that's a product that is more than any one of us. And so I think we've got a pretty effortless way of bouncing ideas off each other, where you have to kind of argue for your idea and let the best one win in a good way. Yeah.
I mean, that's a good way to put it. It's a little healthy competition. Yeah. You know, hopefully all healthy.
Yeah, it's very healthy. Very healthy.
Good. That's so good. And then with approaching actors in that way as well, because you have several voices going on. How do you deal with that?
That, I mean, I think a lot of people are curious, does like one person oversee the camera and one person interacts with the actors? We don't really do that. I think we have a short chat, and whoever feels like they have the best sense of, you know, what the angle is on the next take, or what we might want the actor to try, we'll go talk to the person. But yeah, it's not usually delineated down certain lines.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. And also, I have to ask, where did you guys go to film school?
We went to North Carolina School of the Arts.
Yes, we did.
Have you heard of it?
I have not.
Have you ever seen Eastbound and Down?
I think it's on my very long list.
Yeah.
Well, Danny McBride is one of our famous
alum. Okay. So, yeah. Nothing. Amazing. So in the movie, there's dust flying everywhere, right? We love that. Did you have a favorite scene to film in the movie?
Just saying.
One of mine was the sequence when the family's running home, trying to outrun the dust storm, trying to batten the hatches, and then little Ollie sees the gray man out in the dust. That was just such, all that stuff was, it was hard to film, but yeah. it was a very rewarding process, because it was difficult with the fans and all the dust and all the effects and everything swirling around. So it was difficult footage to attain, but it was so beautiful, and it felt very real and tactile, grounded, and just I love shooting all that stuff and bringing that to life. What about you?
I loved the dance sequence, just because you get to see Sarah Paulson like acting at an 11 in a great way, like it all feels very real and grounded, but she's just incredible, and getting to watch her do her thing.
Yeah, that scene was just the dichotomy of, you know, the kids having fun to her, you know, going full panic. And we do get that famous Sarah Paulson scream.
Yes.
That loves, and I heard it and I was like, it's not a movie without it, you know? That's wonderful. How was working with Sarah?
Yeah, amazing. She's just such a talent, and I mean, beyond her acting, like just her dedication and her willingness to have buckets of sand, you know, thrown into a fan and pointed at her. It was, I mean, honestly, there were times where we were like, she can't do this anymore. This is crazy, and she would say, no, I'm the one in the dust. I want more. I want more dust flying at me. So just her work ethic was really amazing.
Yeah, it's impressive.
That's, you know, it's always a good sign when they're like, more. You're like, I don't know. You're like, no. Bring more dust. Because that's what the Dust Bowl means, is more dust.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously.
Everyone knows this. I don't think there was enough. Honestly, I think the one note I have about the movie is there needed to be more
dust.
More dust. Yeah, okay. Okay. Noted.
Sequel for all. That'd be, you know, cake. That'd be cake. And then what was the hardest scene to film?
I do think some of the actual physical dust sequences, just because it's really hard to communicate. You can't hear anything. You're losing sight of each other sometimes. Those were quite tough.
Yeah, that was very tough to control and corral all that stuff out in the middle of a desert in New Mexico.
Also, just scenes with Ollie, because her time on set being, she was 7 years old when we shot.
Yeah.
It's really limited. So you find those scenes really compressed in terms of how much time you have to shoot.
Agreed.
Yeah. And she did an amazing job. That was her film debut.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She kind of like jumped right into it, and she's amazing. Truly. I think she'll be headed for great things.
Yeah. Agreed.
I totally agree. And she is obviously deaf, And that was that a choice in the script, or was that the choice when you got into the actual casting process?
No, that was written in. That kind of it came from my family. I had three deaf great aunts, and one of them lost her hearing because of scarlet fever. And that just felt right thematically that Margaret would have a daughter who, she loses one daughter and then one loses her hearing. And it just makes that her vigilance feel a little more grounded, that she has had kids get really sick. So it kind of came from that place, but it was also interesting to play with what does Ollie see that no one else does because she's sort of tuned in a different way.
That's a really good way to put it. Also, thank you for, adding more diversity to film. I have a speech impediment. I hide it really well, but I do have one, and seeing people who are hearing impaired and all that, it's a big deal. So thank you for doing that.
Of course. No, it was, I mean, it was our treat working with Alona. She's a really special person
Yes, she is.
and actor.
That's wonderful. Did she teach you any sign language tricks? Because you've have already you obviously knew a little bit with your aunts. But
Yeah, she was great. I feel like we all got all the film things like roll,
Rolling. Yeah,
cut.
exactly.
Rehearse.
It was very sweet when we got her last shot in the film. And then the whole cast and crew came around just so we could kind of thank her in front of everybody. And so then the whole cast and crew applauded her by doing
Yeah.
this, which is kind of applause in sign language.
That was really special. Yeah.
He's good.
That's so sweet. I love that. That's also shows you a good crew and a good family that you guys have created. And so that's wonderful because sometimes you get on film sets and you're like, I don't know if we're all gonna do that, but that's wonderful. But
Everyone loved her.
there was a good vibe.
And how long did it take to film everything?
With a ill-timed COVID shutdown in the middle of the shoot.
It was a little over 30 days. But yeah, we had a little bit of a COVID shutdown.
I didn't know about COVID. What happened?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you've heard.
No one's ever made that joke before. I'm sure. Okay. But I mean, with it to make a film is like it feels like it takes years to just, from the birth of the idea to the end. So again, you made a film. You did it. Pat yourselves on the back. Give yourselves a round of applause because that's such a big, big deal. Big deal. We're like, yep, we know. We're aware.
Well,
We're losing sleep over it, and it's a lot. Oh my goodness. So with that though, we as filmmakers are perfectionists. And there's always something, even if we're perfect, what is a perfect film? We always see like one little thing like, ah, this actor could have done this in this take, Is there anything that you would change or do differently if you could do it all over again?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that's just our personalities, though. You're sort of every day, you're like, oh, wish I'd done this.
I think about the artist who snuck back into the Louvre to do a touch up or change something on his own painting that was hanging in the museum. So I think that might be part of like making art top to bottom is a sense of never really being fully satisfied or fully complete with anything.
I mean, there's so much of the film that was cut out for the runtime, and I think that stuff's really tough on me, is just knowing the extra scenes that people will never get to see. It's tough.
Put them on the DVD.
Is there a director's cut that could be in that DVD?
My gosh, It's an there's a an epic director's cut yeah, somewhere exactly. in the world. Yeah. It might be too long.
Might be too long.
Oh God, how long is too long?
We were over 2 hours at one point.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It was pretty lengthy.
Yeah, an hour and a half is probably a little bit more easily manageable for most people. Yeah. You get into that 2.5 hour territory, you're like,
yeah, it's getting lengthy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But that would be interesting to see, like, you know, Sarah's character go more into madness, because again, that is so jarring and just creepy. And it's, I don't know, my mom told a story the other day about how she would have dreams about, like, losing her kids, her babies, still now, and she's 60 years old. And she's, you know, terrified to find her baby. So to see a mom that's, you know, just trying to protect her kids, but, you know, there's something else going on is just creepy. And that the one scene that really stuck with me was when Sarah's character is outside and she has the gun pointed at, you know, the grandma, and he's like, oh, mommy, it's me, mommy. And then it's actually her daughter just sobbing, like, please don't shoot me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Sleepwalking is pretty frightening, actually, just that someone can be in this totally other state and having a different experience.
Yeah.
And not really be in control of their actions, particularly as a kid when it's the one person who's meant to protect you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that scene is really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you guys have any sleepwalking experience?
There for a while, I was doing it a lot there for a while. I was sleepwalking and I was brushing my teeth a lot in my sleep. And I was also putting toothpaste on odd things. Like, yeah. We would find toothpaste up the side of candles.
Yes.
I don't know if I perceived them in my dream state to be big teeth. I woke up with my teeth very clean.
I know my dad had a story from college where he went through a sleepwalking phase and his roommate woke up and my dad was standing over him with scissors and he goes, somebody needs a haircut. And I was like, that might be the most frightening way to wake up.
So you either have you're getting a haircut or your dentist is so happy.
Yes, exactly.
You're getting your brush your teeth more than 3 times a day.
Yes.
Are you still sleepwalking?
I think it's been a while.
Yeah.
I think the exhaustion of making a film means the mind and body is too spent at night to be wandering around brushing things in the dead of the night.
Well, that's probably good, you know. I don't want you to hurt yourself, but your teeth, though. How's your oral hygiene?
Oral hygiene is out of sight.
who can handle oral hygiene when you're making a film? Can't.
Yeah, can't do it. Can't think about anything and just make movie.
Exactly. Okay, we're approaching the end of my questions. How have your previous projects together prepared you for this movie?
Mm-hmm. I just think it's like experience hours of sort of, you never feel like you have enough time or the resources. And we've made things that cost $5 mm-hmm. all the way up to this film. So I think just sort of handling the stress and trying to have, you know, difficult circumstances maybe make for a more interesting choice. Like, can it lead you in a good direction? And also just how do you stay sane together as that happens? We sort of got plenty of practice making no budget films that way.
Exactly. And I also think it's a great way where you're constantly kind of, I guess I would describe it as you're kind of constantly exercising your taste.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of think like, oh, there's always more granular ways and broader thematic ways to make sure that you're more and more lockstep to make sure that we're always making the exact same thing for the exact same reason.
That was a wonderful answer. Wonderful answer. I have a few silly questions because my podcast is silly. What is your favorite crafty snack?
Crafty snack.
Oh.
Wait, there were these peanut butter and jelly called some kind of little sandwich.
Uncrustables.
Uncrustables.
Oh, I just want to make it clear that this was her favorite snack, not mine. I didn't.
You're like, this is not mine.
Those things were nasty. I don't know. It was in the middle of the desert. It was so hot. I never ate much. I just drank iced coffee.
You had cheese sticks that were melting.
Yeah, I'm a grown man, and for basically 6 weeks I just ate cheese sticks and coffee. So it's a diet of champions.
Now, I'm from Wisconsin. What kind of cheese?
Oh, processed orange thing that I sweatily ate in between takes. I'm not quite sure. It was cheese-esque. How about that?
Was it actually cheese? We don't really know, but
one of those things where you read the fine print and it says cheese product. Okay.
Cheese. How much of the film was shot on location and how much was on? Was there any in a studio for like the big Dust Bowl, like when she's just fully in the dust? There we go.
Yeah, some of the interiors of the house were shot on a stage, so we'd have more control. And certain parts of like the last dust storm, where like you said, where she's completely enveloped, that kind of had to be done on a sound stage where we had full control over the dust and the wind, just because when you're out in location, no matter how powerful these huge fans you have are, if the wind shifts, and all that precious dust is flying away from your shot. So there were certain things where you needed it to be all encompassing that kind of had to be done on a soundstage.
I meant to ask that earlier, but I'm glad we made our way back around. Back to the final silliest question of all. My podcast is called Katie Afraidy, and I ask this question to everybody. Do you think viewers are going to be afraidy or not afraidy of Hold Your Breath?
I think afraidy.
Afraidy.
Yeah.
Afraidy.
Hopefully very afraidy.
Afraidy. Got to be afraidy.
Oh, yeah. I was afraidy. I was disturbed and afraidy, and I loved it. I loved
awesome.
It. Again,
awesome.
Congratulations again. Where are people able to find the movie? October 3rd,
Hulu and Disney Plus, they can find it.
Yes, exactly.
Beautiful. And what's up next for you guys after this?
A movie with no dust.
Yes.
That is, that's job one.
No dust, no wind.
Yeah.
No, I think we're developing a couple of projects that hopefully we'll make very soon.
Yes.
Well, that's so exciting. Well, I look forward to talking to you guys about those in the future.
Absolutely.
That'd be great.
So nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Carrie and William. That was so fun to chat with you guys about the movie. It's out on Hulu right now. Go watch it. It's a great movie. Go see it. And also go see the other stuff on our channel, okay? Katie Afraidy, all platforms. Spotify, Apple, you know the drill. Give us a 5-star. Give us a review, please. Give us a rating. We need it. We need you. Just like we need you to join the Patreon. Yes, Patreon, you get things early. You get extended cuts. Unedited cuts, by the way. Unedited. And if we know unedited for me, it makes things interesting. Filmcraft Studio Gears, you can find them at filmcraftla.com or on Instagram at filmcraftla. And can't forget about Fangoria, but you want a copy of Fangoria? Use code KatieAfraidy25 for 25% off. Oh, guys, it's been a delight. Thank you so much for staying in tune with me with these Zoom episodes. It won't be forever. It's just for a little bit longer. But guys, thank you so much. Stay spooky, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Get inside! He'll make you do terrible things. We're very well. You?
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.